Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Giants have the third overall pick. We've seen the Jets and the Giants draft quarterbacks high, whether it be Sam Darnold or Mark Sanchez or Geno Smith or Zach Wilson or Daniel Jones, on and on and on. And a lot of these guys, basically all of them, you know, didn't work out for the Jets and Giants. And the Giants have an opportunity again, most likely, to draft one of these top quarterbacks. And when people talk about it around here, like when I hear other hosts and the callers and just people in my life, you know, talk about drafting these guys, it's like, oh, you know, it's just such a crapshoot. You know, taking these guys in the first round, maybe you find a guy in the third round, maybe you do this, you find someone down in the draft, and all of these conversations. So, and, you know, people are right. There's a lot of those guys that are big busts, and it sets your franchise back. There's no disputing that. But I just want to highlight the other side of that for just a second.
Sure.
Just a second. So we've got 8 quarterbacks left in the NFL postseason, do we not?
Yeah.
We've got 8 quarterbacks left.
That's good.
7 out of those 8.
Yeah.
First round draft choices.
Oh, yeah.
The only one who was not is Jalen Hurts, who was 53rd overall in the second round.
Yeah.
All right. So that's...
People tend to forget that Jared Goff was the number one overall pick by the Rams.
So don't steal my thunder now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't steal my thunder.
All right, I'm not stealing any thunder.
So out of the 7 out of those 8, 2 of them were the number one overall pick.
All right.
Matt Stafford, Jared Goff. 2 of them were the number 2 overall pick.
Why are you yelling?
Because I'm fired up about quarterbacks.
All right.
You should love that.
I'm fired up too, but you don't have to yell.
I'm sorry. 2 of them.
Oh.
Is that a little bit lower?
Okay.
2 of them,
yes,
were the number 2 overall pick in C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels. And then the other 2 that are left, or other 3 that are left on the list, Josh Allen, number 7 overall, Patrick Mahomes, number 10 overall, and Lamar Jackson, of course, 32nd overall.
But the point being, if you're a top 10 quarterback, I mean, you could change the franchise's trajectory immediately, assuming that you have those abilities that all the teams are looking for. And I don't think any of these quarterbacks coming out right now today are going to be Bo Nix next year. I don't.
Yeah, well, but at the same time, there was a lot of these. So, you know, C.J. Stroud, Lamar Jackson, out of all these guys that I mentioned that were picked first, second, or in the first round, did you feel like any of them were 100% can't miss?
100% Josh Allen.
Well, you love Josh Allen.
100% Josh Allen and 100% Jaden Daniels.
Okay, so that's 2 of the 8.
And Mahomes, I'm sorry, of course.
Right. Mahomes. But the point is that, you know, guys like Jared Goff,
I need to have guys this out like, a little bit more now.
Guys like C.J. Stroud, right. You know, Lamar, obviously. Like, you know, there were many, many people that were, I mean, the classic Bill Polian take that got him roasted for months on Lamar Jackson should not be a quarterback in the NFL. He should be a wide receiver. You know, a lot of those guys were saying the same things about these guys that have had great careers, won MVPs, and, you know, got their teams deep into the playoffs. So I just, it's become... The story and the whatever you want to say around the first round quarterback has just been so much more of the negative than the positive, and it's almost like you can't draft these guys at the top. It sets you back. Why are you going to try to draft a quarterback again at the top of the draft? Because when you hit, everything changes.
You know, if I'm sitting here right now, Cam Ward would be the number one guy. J. just based on what I've seen, and he does have explosiveness in his game. You could see it. You could see the athleticism. You could see all the things that, like, Joe Milton had up in New England, that Anthony Richardson had when he came out of the combine. That's an explosive football player. Shedeur Sanders, a little bit more refined, a little bit more, maybe the expectations because of his dad and everything else. There's that mental side of it that Patrick Mahomes had because his dad was a baseball player and he'd been around professional baseball all his life. So I think that there is something to be said about that part of Shedeur Sanders. But there's also an entitlement thing that you may have to deal with Shedeur.
Mm. Yeah, so
I mean, that's the thing that I worry about. He's got decent arm, you know, he can seem like he can read defenses. He played against lesser competition. There wasn't a lot of pressure. I mean, you know, he had the best player in football, Travis Hunter, to throw to. I mean, like all those things. But I don't know. I just, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, he came out and said, yeah, I'd love to be the quarterback of the Cowboys as well. I'm like, well, who do you think you are?
Well,
I mean, like, you could,
did he say that?
Yeah, he said, I wouldn't mind going to the Cowboys. I mean, like, all right, they already have Dak Prescott there, and they're paying him 4 years, 100 or four years, right? So, $160 million or something like that, whatever it is.
Yeah, I didn't see him say that. It'd be disappointing if he came out and just said it that way, but. But anyway, so one of the takes I was proudest about recently is when I offered up my NFL comp to Cam Ward to Phil Sims.
Okay.
I said, this guy reminds me of Steve McNair. And Phil said, absolutely, spot on, you're right. And it would be interesting if Cam Ward went as a Steve McNair clone in a way, goes to Tennessee with the first overall pick. So what is the Shedeur Sanders NFL comp? I'll give you one because I saw him play a lot. Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay, I mean, a fine quarterback.
But do you agree or not?
Teddy Two Gloves.
Teddy Two Gloves, that's right. As Lamar Jackson just called him, reminded us of that nickname this week because he's playing in the cold. Do you think that is a fair comparison?
I think he's better than Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
Coming out of college, he's a little bit better than that. I don't know about all the trappings around him, his expectations, his entitlement. You know, I know he's working with Tom Brady, which is a good thing to have going for you if Tom Brady is supporting you about working out and being serious about the job. I mean, you know, it's going to be an interesting pick for the Giants if they're sitting there at number three and Shedeur Sanders is there.
So Eddie says in my ear, an NFL comp to Shedeur Sanders, Chad Pennington. And he says, really that weak?
Well, similar arm strength, similar game smarts, tough.
Played with a great wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and Chad, if Chad didn't get hurt, he would have gone on to have a really great NFL career, but he just kept getting hurt. But I could see that because, you know, Shedeur doesn't run with the ball a lot. You know, Chad didn't run with the ball a lot. I mean, they can, but...
just a high football IQ also.
And again, I say Shedeur being Deion Sanders' son gives him a leg up in terms of expectations of him of his own self and going on the field and feeling confident that he can do it.
Yeah, and the entitlement thing with Shedeur, I think, is I'm coming around on the other end of that because we know that Deion Sanders is all about glitz and in your face and entertainment, and he's been his entire career. But the other thing he was during his career was a Hall of Famer and great at what he did and understood that you had to put the work in. And even though there's a lot of things that he did where you felt like, as the Oregon head coach said, you know, more about clicks than winning football games, and, you know, you have examples of that, I can't imagine that Deion Sanders doesn't know and does not relay the fact that, hey, Shedeur, you can't just show up and flash your watch to the crowd and think that you're going to be some superstar in the NFL.
Yeah.
You got to put in the work. You're a rookie. You got to zip it. You got to do everything to prove to your teammates you're the guy. I actually think it's way more of a positive than a negative.
Well,
have Deion in your corner.
That's part of what I'm talking about. The kid has grown up around it. You know what I mean? So he shouldn't be intimidated by it.
Yeah.
And I just... Man, if the Giants get him and they start him on week one, I don't know what it's going to look like.
You can't do that. You can't start him week one. That's why you go stopgap guy for a little bit. Have him sit there, see how the season's going, and then people will be calling for him, of course, and maybe, you know, by week six or something like that, he ends up playing.
Well, I think there's also a couple things going on here. Even though, like, the Titans are number one and the Browns are number two, and both of them need quarterbacks, you know, Deion's already, you know, said that there are certain teams I don't want my son playing for. So he's, you know, he may be doing that so he can get him to the Giants, or maybe he can get him to one of these other teams, the Saints or somebody, the Raiders. Maybe he's trying to do that. Maybe he becomes the head coach of the Raiders. Who knows?
Mm. I think Ben Johnson's going to end up there. I think that's what Tom Brady got involved in. I think that's everything seems to be pointing to that.
Who's the GM that goes with him? I guess the guy Agnew from Detroit?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I'm not sure. I don't know the entire history of Ben Johnson and guys he's worked with in the front office. A lot of those things are hard to find because it's so incestuous and guys coach everywhere. But I'm sure it'll be someone that he has worked with before.
All right, so that means it's like a Shane and Dable thing.
Yeah, or, yeah, yeah, it could be. If it's Ray Agnew, certainly it could be. And there's other candidates there in Detroit as well that it
I will say one thing. You take a look at what Detroit has done since Dan Campbell has gotten there. The way that they drafted, the way that they made trades, you know, they swung the big trade initially, Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford, and they got a couple draft picks. And what they turned those draft picks in and the roster that they have, and they built it around, you know, a quarterback that really not everybody wasn't really sure about him. Like, he took a team to the Super Bowl, so you got to be sure that he can actually do it, which he can. And now he's played his best football ever for Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson in Detroit. But their draft picks, like Penny Sewell, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I mean, it's unbelievable what they've done and how they built that team. Aiden Hutchinson.
Well, that's how you reload every year. I mean, and that's what the Philadelphia Eagles have done as well. I mean, the draft is the most important thing. I mean, it always is. And obviously hitting on the number one position in the draft is the most important thing. But, you know, the rest of the draft's important, too. Look no further the difference between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants than how they have drafted the last couple of years. Go through those drafts, the Howie Roseman drafts against the Joe Shane drafts, and then come out of that saying who was better. I think it's 100% consensus. We know who drafted better. So, yeah, those are the quarterbacks we're going to be talking about. And it seems like Cam Ward, at this point, consensus number one to the Titans. And then we'll see what happens from there. Could the dark horse come out, the out-of-nowhere guy? What's going on with your computer? I'm about to have a seizure over there.
Yeah, I don't know what's
going
on.
This thing is flipping out.
Something wrong with it.
It's like Japanese anime.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that.
Whoa. All right, so... Is there the out-of-nowhere guy
Is that Jackson Dart? Is that
Quinn Ewers?
Quinn Ewers. I mean, like, any of these, I don't think it's Quinn Ewers, but I just, there'll be somebody that will move up, you know, through the combine, through their private workouts and, in you know, interviews and things of that nature. So I don't know who that player is at the moment. I do think that these two guys are going to hold at the top of the draft. There's no question about it. And like I said, the Giants at number three are going to have an interesting situation. And it will be interesting to see if Cleveland, I don't think Cleveland or Tennessee will be trading out. But does Tennessee believe that Will Levis has something else left that we haven't seen? I don't think so. I think Brian Callahan's going to like, I want a new quarterback down here.
Yeah, I mean, and the Cleveland Browns are obviously even more so in the market for another quarterback after Deshaun Watson re-tears his Achilles tendon, which is...
He's done. He's not playing for the Browns again. Forget that.
I mean, it's over. Well, it's certainly over now. I mean, how do you re-tear it? Just being a jerk?
I don't know what he did. You know, it's... who knows? Maybe he tripped and fell. I don't know. It's a weird situation, but... They owe him $96 million, guaranteed, no matter what. Ugh. No matter what. They bribed him to come to Cleveland. They gave him all that money and just basically went backward.
Yeah, I mean, where that guy was to where he is now is just amazing. You know, all that winning he did at Clemson, you know, coming out and being that Texans quarterback and having, I mean, he was just putting up ridiculous numbers and their defenses weren't good and he was throwing for 1 million yards, keeping the team in games. And from there, to all the accusations, to going up to Cleveland, to getting hurt, and his career essentially being over is amazing.
He will go down as the guy who made the most money per play in NFL history because he had to sit out a year and still got paid. He's going to sit out another year. He had to sit out 11 games, and they fined him $5 million for that.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to be impossible to recreate that unless somebody, like, somebody signs a $300 million guaranteed deal, then plays one game, and then...
Yeah, I don't know. Unless somebody gets hurt.
Loses like, both their legs.
It'd be like Aaron Rodgers, you know, getting hurt for the Jets, but, you know, he did come back and he played a full season.
He did. He absolutely did. Let's go to Dan out in the friendliest town in America, Sable. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just heard you say something about Joe Shane's draft classes not being good.
Well, his first couple were horrendous. This past year was good. This past year was good. His first two were horrendous.
I mean, horrendous. You got Thibodeau and Neal were rough, but everyone in the world thought they were going to be studs.
Okay, but they weren't, and now we're going back and looking at it. And so
you also have to remember Deontay Banks is a first-round pick, too, right. And look what he went through this year.
John Michael Schmidt, another bust.
Yeah, he's not really a bust yet. I mean, he's been all right. He's
seen that guy get pancaked and on his back heels more than anybody in the league.
He's got to get heavier, he's got to get stronger, and he's got to work out harder in the offseason, that's all.
You can't defend his first couple draft classes. I'll give you this last one. It's probably what kept him his job, is this last draft class with Malik Nabers and Tyrone Tracy and all those young defensive guys. But those first, you cannot defend those first two draft classes.
I mean, he's got Wondell.
Wondell Robinson. You're giving me Wondell Robinson? I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown was selected after Wondell Robinson.
You know, if Wondell Robinson play with a better quarterback situation, you may see better numbers from him. That's the thing. You don't know because of the quarterback situation with the Giants has been so up and down.
Well, okay.
Yeah. You got to watch him play.
But Joe Shane gave, and the Giants gave Daniel Jones the money to be the quarterback.
So, I'm talking about draft classes. I'm not,
Whatever fits your narrative about Joe Shane being a good GM. He hasn't been. He had one good draft class. That was last year. Kept him his job, essentially. Those other two, if you're defending them, you're just defending them because you're a giant shill. That's what it is. You can't. And then we're talking about comparing them to the Eagles and the Lions. Go through them. You can't give me Wondell Robinson as a good pick. You just can't.
Well, I would just say Wondell Robinson with a better quarterback situation, a better offensive situation, may put up better numbers. There are times where the ball is in his hands, and, you know, you could see it. You could see, like, his ability. But again, like, it was like when Elijah Moore was drafted by the Jets. I love the pick. I love where they got him. And then all of a sudden, he disappears. They trade him away. And, you know, like, I thought he was going to be a really, really good player here. But, you know, just the situation was wrong for him. That's why, you know, we always talk about an environment to be drafted in. And this is why I'm telling you, Deion does not want his son going to Cleveland.
Yeah.
As much as we may like Kevin Stefanski and they do have a good team. And you hear Myles Garrett saying that, you know, our team is good. We have a really good team. He's like, I really don't know what's going on here. I don't know what they're thinking about. And maybe that's where Kirk Cousins ends up going there.
I mean, it feels like he's squeezed everything out of that career, man.
Yeah, I think, you know, getting out of Atlanta would be a good thing for him.
Go up and play in Cleveland in the cold and the wind with the noodle arm he's got now. Listen, Kirk had a great career, awesome career. It just feels like he has squeezed everything out of that body. Got his ass kicked for too many years, bad offensive line, standing in there, making those throws. I don't want to trash the guy in any way. I'm just talking, it feels like he's done everything humanly possible to squeeze out every big throw in his career, and now it's over. That's what it feels like.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Feel Good Football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just two of them left after today. Remember back when COVID first started, we thought the handshake was going to go away? And we had those discussions. Handshakes got to go away, right? I mean, at the very least, we'll be doing the fist bumps. How many handshakes did we have last night? We had a lot of handshakes.
Oh, a lot of handshakes.
There were so many handshakes.
We were just sitting there going, you know, you think anybody in here has got the norovirus?
That's all we were thinking about. Someone coming off norovirus, you know, probably thought like, I'm 2 days removed, but still the virus lingering. on their hands. And
I hope not.
I was thinking about it. I took a break, washed my hands, came back.
All right.
It was on my mind last night as we were at Teller's. And you know what? It was like double handshakes. See, everybody last night, they come up and they do the picture beforehand, handshake, take the picture, and then handshake on the way out.
Double handshake.
You got two handshakes in a matter of 30 seconds. I mean, one handshake will get that norovirus on your hands no matter what, but still, you know, it was double handshakes. I'm like, man, I'm shaking a lot of hands.
Right, so that had to be at least over 200 handshakes last night.
At the very least.
Get that sanitizer going.
So, you always tell me whether or not I'm looking at something that's fake on social media. There's a lot of fake stuff out there. I don't know if this is fake or not, but, you know, Kathy Hochul gave her State of the State address the other day.
Okay.
I just want to stick toothpicks in my eyeballs when she's talking. But did you see the video? Is that real?
Oh, it's circling right now. I don't know why.
You're going to ask him to decide if that's real on the spot?
Is that real?
Come on.
So you got they did some dance number. I'm not
sure. Really old people dressed up in suits, both men and women wearing the same suits, dancing and gyrating around on the stage.
So it was like a Broadway play or something before she gave her speech or something? What is that?
But like, why would anybody make this up? Like, it has to be real.
That's what we're spending money on?
Oh, my God.
Featured a cringy dance troupe?
Oh, my God. I mean,
what is that?
It wasn't the wrong program. It was part of the State of the State address.
Okay, yeah, so it is real. Okay.
I mean, according to this write-up I'm reading here.
I mean, is their goal to be, like, the dumbest MFers in the world? Is that their goal? Is that what they set out to be? Like, that was a rough one.
These are not state government staff. They are members of a dance troupe called the Timeless Torches. They perform at games for the WNBA's New York Liberty.
Yeah. Because everybody wants to see octogenarians in suits seizuring.
I have no problem with them in particular. I'm just wondering why.
I think
they,
I do. I think
we're
I
at
do.
The State of the State. The State of the State is supposed to be something serious and delivered with a tone of seriousness and everything else. I don't know why.
Because
that's
I think
a
that
part
was
of
the State of the State.
Oh, maybe that was the State of the State.
Complete disaster.
I think that was it. Okay. All right. It's real then.
Seems to be.
Did you get any people last night to circle back to the Teller's Chalk Talk event? Did you get any people that played the role of Mad Dog and you felt like Chalamet, where you're getting hugged and patted on the back? And
No, not that touchy feely.
Posing for pictures, maybe someone gives you a little neck squeeze.
There was a couple guys that I knew beforehand, but no strangers were doing that.
Okay.
There was no stranger danger last night.
No. Good. That's get a couple guys that you know, like Neil from Audio Interiors. You know, he'll get a little bit up in your grill. You know, but you're fine with it because you know him and you really like him.
And plus, you bought you a bottle of Costa Brown.
Right, it was amazing.
You're very happy about that.
Like, how did Phil's foot look?
Phil actually wore a shoe, thank God.
He jammed it in the shoe. He actually took out all the padding and all this extra stuff in the shoe to jam his...
He's very sensitive when I made fun of his toes on Sunday night.
Swollen foot in there, yeah.
He didn't want me to do that again. I just told him, wear the boot with a sock and I won't make fun of your toes.
Hey, Phil. Yeah, he was fine.
He was great.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting a very sort of injured Phil Simms, the way you were talking about the previous Sunday, but he jammed that swollen foot in a shoe and he was good to go.
Give that boy a little bit of Casamigos. Next thing you know, boom, done.
Yeah, on fire. There was a guy that went up to Phil and started rattling off the ingredients of Balance by Nature, which really made my night. And
how was that received?
Tomato, banana, papaya, apple, grape, wild blueberry. Oh my gosh! And orange, cherries,
you know, Phil was just
cranberries.
Like in his eyes, he's like, oh man,
broccoli,
you know all
spinach,
of them, huh?
Onions, oh, I love onions. Green cabbage. We got garlic, red cabbage, carrots, kale. Man, just nothing but a lot of good ingredients in this.
Yeah, it was great. He's like, wow, you know all of these. Well, I see and hear the commercial enough.
God,
it's great. Wild blueberries. Oh, my God. Papaya.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but he was awesome last
night. He was great. He was great. It was very funny.
Phil.
all right.
He was, he and Sal Ciampi Jr. started talking high school football.
Oh,
and
geez.
I was like, Jesus, God, I it was so hard to get them apart from each other. Because once I told Phil that Sal Ciampi Jr. is the East Islip football coach, you know, he coached against Jack Cohn, who Phil worked with.
Yeah, yeah.
Next thing, boom, right into it.
Tractor beams.
That was the end of that.
Yes.
A couple of dignitaries there last night. You had the Suffolk County District Attorney.
Yeah, Ray Tierney was there, yep.
You had my congressman, Andrew Garbarino, who showed up. So, so
did
was,
they do any R&B dancing?
No, they did not.
No, no,
no, no, no, no. They did not. They right. just enjoyed the event like the men that they are. All right, CeeLo, what's going on over there?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Some more football sound to get you ready for Divisional Weekend, which kicks off tomorrow afternoon with the Chiefs and the Texans from Kansas City. But our sound this hour takes us down to Philadelphia for Sunday's rematch between the Eagles and the Rams. Nick Sirianni, not surprised LA has made it to this point, even though Philly hung a 37-20 win on LA back in late November.
They're playing really good football. I think that was pretty obvious when we went in to play them last time, too. You know, they had won 4 out of 5 before we played them, and then pretty much have been undefeated since then.
Now, in that game, that matchup where they faced each other, Saquon Barkley went off for 255 yards rushing, couple of touchdowns, plus another 47 yards receiving. Sean McVay acknowledges they had to check themselves a bit after that one.
Really, as a team, you can look inward and you can say, is this really what we want to be about? Where are the things that we can adjust, adapt from a coaching perspective, and then where's the sense of urgency that's going to be required, you know, for coaches and players to be able to execute the way that we want.
And as Sirianni mentioned, the only loss since they lost to Philly was the Week 18 game where they rested many of their yeah. starters, and you have Jimmy Garoppolo out there, so they've been on quite the run. And then you've got A.J. Brown, of course, the sideline book reading incident from Wild Card Weekend. She already referenced the ad sales for that book going off the charts, so much has been made of it, especially from Brown's standpoint. Was he frustrated or upset with the lack of involvement against the Packers? This week, when asked about it, he pretty much had enough.
I'm not pretending it's not a facade or anything, you know. Who cares who don't like it, you know? I'm a 3-time all pro. Yes, I'm gonna pop my
something
that is what it is. That is what it is, and you know, I do that for myself. You know, I don't care nobody, like I'm not a distraction. You know, so most importantly I go out there and do my job. So all the other, you know, it don't matter.
I love that guy. I really do. I really love him.
Calls it like it is, right?
Yeah. No, he's tremendous. He's such a great player. And seeing him up close as we did at the Giants Eagles games on the sideline,
jacked.
If I didn't know who he was and I didn't know the numbers in the NFL, if you would have told me that he was a middle linebacker, I would have totally believed it.
Yeah.
And he is a beast.
Specimen.
And when you don't feed him, there's problems. Because he needs that ball. It's his fuel.
Mm.
It's his oxygen. And if Jalen Hurts is not gonna be giving the oxygen to the beast, the beast will fire back.
Gotta go to the self-help book.
It'll be interesting if they lose this game and he has one catch again. We got to go right to Brandon Graham.
You know where
we got to get commentary from him to find out what's going on.
Here's my prediction.
If
that happens, Mike Vrabel trades for him and he's back up in New England.
Yeah, they'll have to move. Maybe because you know there's something going on there, as Brandon Graham alluded to about 7 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something. There's some friction.
Damn right.
A little itchiness.
Seems that way. We covered the latest on Pete Alonso and the Mets last hour. Sounds like the two sides are heading for divorce, with Pete reportedly turning down this latest Mets offer, said to be for 3 years and around $70 million, including opt-outs. The Mets are re-upping with Jesse Winker, though. That's said to be a one-year deal for $8 million. Now, back to Pete. He did go out, of course, with some big moments in the postseason, including that massive home run to stun the Brewers in the wild card round. And there's a tie-in there with Pete and yesterday's passing of the legend, Hall of Famer Bob Uecker. Of course, many of the humorous clips from Major League and the commercials and Johnny Carson and Mr. Belvedere were making the rounds, but also this one in the immediate moments after Alonso and the Mets eliminated the Brewers back in early October. 90-year-old Uecker still on the call for Brewers Radio as they summed it up.
Well, New York down. They did it. And the crew will have it in.
Really a crushing end to what was a fabulous season for the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
And you can hear the emotion in the voice. It sure did have some sting on it from his perspective and that of the Brewers. Beloved in that community, the baseball community, really the sports world in general, pop culture as well. But Milwaukee and Wisconsin, right? That's what we think of.
Yeah.
Brewers radio man since the early 1970s. So Alex Rodriguez, who he fashions himself as a bit of a baseball historian, wouldn't
sure,
you say?
Sure, yes.
He's up on his history, knows what's up. So A-Rod yesterday on Twitter X, 349, and I did check before I came in to see if this was still active on his page, and it was
3:49 p.m.
3:49 p.m. yesterday. Yes, yeah, so we're talking, what is that now? About 16 hours ago now or so?
Yeah.
Heartbroken to lose Bob Uecker, an iconic voice of baseball. He brought joy not only to Cleveland, but to baseball fans everywhere. And his iconic catchphrase is yada, 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 yada.
Oh, wow.
What's what?
Cleveland still sitting out there in that tweet.
Well, I did need it that.
Maybe you just watch Major League or something. Who knows?
That's obviously where that comes from.
Yeah.
Right. We get that, but that's a bad one.
Anytime you get a great fundamentalist.
Man, I wish I was that oblivious, where you could put out such a horrible mistake and then just leave it up there and have no idea that it's going on.
Yeah.
Just be in a world, just be like so rich and so famous that you're not even thinking about that.
Doesn't somebody in his life say something to him like, hey, might want to change that to Milwaukee?
Right.
Dumbo.
Not going back to Twitter is one thing. Who knows if he is even the one posting things on Twitter.
Someone's got to send him
a text or a call. If Kevin Burkhardt, if nothing else.
You know, I think who runs that Twitter account for him?
His daughter?
Yuri Sukart. I think he's the guy who's been running that X account for A-Rod.
Yuri Sukart, man, name for the passport.
And sometimes when someone who's 90 or around there passes that was in entertainment, we say things like, man, we should have celebrated that person more when they were alive. I don't feel that way at all about Bob Uecker, because I feel like we really did celebrate him because he was calling games all the way up to the end. Same thing with Vin Scully. It felt like guys like that were always around, and we appreciated them in those last years when they were alive, and it wasn't just hey, let's appreciate this guy now that he's dead.
We all loved them. We all loved seeing him in the movies, in his sitcom. Some of his guest spots on Johnny Carson that have been making the rounds were hilarious. He just had a real self-deprecating aspect about himself, and he was always laughing at himself and his career. But he loved the game, for sure. Interestingly enough, we always talk about predicting things around here, whether or not, Aaron Rodgers is going to come and play, and who the Giants are going to draft. We always try to figure out what we think is going to be the future. Eddie kind of did this in the case with Bob Uecker.
Did he?
He did, yeah. We actually were talking about Bob Uecker in that particular play, and then Eddie, of course, behind the scenes was...
Really?
What?
Are we really going to do this?
Well, I mean, it's Bob Uecker. I think it's an ode to Bob Uecker.
No, not
no,
today.
You don't think so?
Even me.
I mean, it's out there. Says. I mean, it's out there. We're just not going to talk about it?
It's not really out there. It was one guy who found a clip of something that dropped that Eddie played and sent to us. I mean, it's not like it's been written about anywhere.
That's Eddie, though. That's who Eddie is.
Yeah. Well, just put it this way. Eddie made a funny drop after the Brewers were eliminated by the Mets, and that's what Boomer is alluding to, and we'll just leave it at that.
It's more like a mix even more so than a drop.
Yeah, yeah, it was like it was under the whole thing. It wasn't like a drop. It was just the noise that Eddie was playing was just
a little underbed.
Yeah. I bet you I'll tell you what, Bob Uecker would appreciate it.
I would agree with that.
With his sense of humor and his way of seeing things and knowing that it's about making people laugh, that's what he was all about.
Indeed.
And one of those guys who I haven't seen one yet. I don't think there's anyone out there who's got a bad word to say about him, right?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Obviously, when people are going to come out of the woodwork when he passes and say it. But all these years, I can't remember ever seeing anyone say anything negative about Bob Uecker.
I mean, people, broadcasters who would go and meet him in Milwaukee would always have these amazing things to say, that he would always give his time up and, was just...
I think you got to go to the Phil Mushnick test. If Phil Mushnick probably didn't write one bad thing about him. That's when you know somebody is actually
really
resonating with everybody and is just basically passed everything with flying colors.
Yep. Wins for the Rangers and Rutgers, losses for the Devils and the Islanders. You get the Knicks and the Timberwolves tonight, and the Nets late in Los Angeles against the Lakers. You got coverage on the Fan 1020.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday. The road to New Orleans with Boomer and Geo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. That road getting more and more narrow by the day and gets from 8 to 4 after this weekend. I'm going to get a call in or two, but I did want to mention how, you know, I talked about Sean Winters of the Winters Brothers, who has many tickets that are right behind the Jets bench that are club seats, and Peter Schwartz inviting Sean Winters on to Sports Bash as a guest, and how that was an ultimate schnur spot, ultimate leech spot. Well, I saw Sean Winters last night at the Teller's event, and he said, I was happy to do it, but I was promised lunch. And there was no lunch.
Peter did not bring lunch.
He said he used, whoa, Peter used the lunch as a way to lure him in. Hey, we'll do it at this time. I'll have lunch here for you. No lunch.
Why didn't he order lunch? That's not my fault.
Well, that's what Peter's going to say. Apparently, one of the sponsors, they have a diner as a sponsor, was supposed to show up with the lunch.
And the diner didn't show up, huh?
Didn't show up.
But I'm not taking any of the blame on this.
Oh, yeah, you are. Oh, but yes, you are.
In that spot, Peter's got to be like, okay, by a certain time, they're not there. We got to take care of this.
Got to call a deli or something.
Right. So Sean said, hey, it was good. You know, Peter's a good guy. Love his boys. Love the family. Cheryl, everything else. But it's kind of bush league.
You take him to Miller's Ale House or something.
Right. Get some ranch dumped on you and have free meals for the next 6 months. Yeah, so he was disappointed in that. So just,
shame.
Yeah, Sports Bash. And he was trying to get you guys, you and Phil Simms, to stop by on your drive out yesterday. I didn't even ask either one of you. But
he was?
Yeah, he said, can you ask Boomer and Phil if they'd stop by Sports Bash on their way out? And I said, hey, listen, man, I said, you got Boomer's number. You do what you want. Phil, I'm not asking Phil about that.
I wasn't stopping by anything. You tried to get me to go to the Portly, and I wasn't going to do that.
Well, that's too bad. And you love the Portly.
Yes.
All right, Andrew is down in D.C. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, guys. Boomer, I wanted to know if you're coming to the inauguration on Monday, because I could get you in the Pentagon for a tour as well.
All right, so you always said I've been in the Pentagon. Now, are you one of these deep state guys, or are you, you an America First guy?
America first.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, unfortunately, I'm working because it's a football Friday.
Well, it's a football,
I mean, football Monday. Yeah. Yeah, it's a reactionary Monday to everything. It is a day off. You know, it's kind of interesting. Inauguration Day falls on Martin Luther King Day.
Yes, it does.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of people off. Yeah.
And then, Gio, I wanted to, I watched Varsity Blues last night because you were talking about it. And two things. The book idea comes from that movie because Moxon reads a book on the sideline and gets in trouble for it. And then the second thing is whipped cream bikini for Allie Larder.
Allie Larder, that's right.
True. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Quick question for you, Andrew. What's going on with the drones? You got any idea?
So I'm not in that space, unfortunately. So I can't give you any more information.
Oh, really?
Sure.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, I feel like you know something you're not telling us.
If I did, you'd be the first call.
All right, Al, do you have something for him?
Yeah, I had a question. You guys got any alien biologics down there?
Not that I know. Same.
Again, I mean, what are you, like a secretary or something? I mean, don't you have any, like, what is your clearance level?
TSSCI.
Now, what the hell does that mean?
It means it's like the second highest.
All right, so we have a theory. It's either China with the drones, or I believe
China.
It could be, maybe it could be Secret Service just making sure that, you know, President Trump's golf course and where he has a home up here is safe. What do you think about those theories?
Possible. I think it's mostly civilian, and I'm only speaking for myself, obviously, but I think it's mostly civilian people and
what do you think? Andrew, what do you think of Mike Francesa's theory that it's Amazon and DoorDash up there just getting ready for launching a new way to deliver packages and food?
It could be a percentage of that, but you know, Mike's got interesting theories and everything, so you're gonna.
Mike, do you actually go to work or do you work from home? Are you one of those government employees who works from home?
I do a little bit at home just because I have two young children, but I do mostly in the office.
Oh, you're in the office. Okay, good. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody's going back to the office starting Monday, baby. Let's go.
Al, do you want me to put him on hold so you can get his number and we can text him questions that we have with his second highest level of clearance?
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about civilian drones. I mean, come on, these aren't civilian drones. Well, I can't.
Well, he's also on the air.
Yeah, I'd
get him off the air.
Maybe you can get some intel off the air, Al. I know how you're big into intel.
Now, I'm a big intel guy. You know
yes.
that.
Yes.
All right, Andrew. Thanks
Andrew.
Very much.
Appreciate it.
That was a nice offer. For you, if you were not here doing the show on Monday, but
it's going to be huge.
Oh, huge. It's going to be
huge.